Grace and peace to you, my friends. I'm Betsy Turner. I'm the pastor of Stockbridge Presbyterian Church, and this message is for April 26th, the third Sunday in the season of Easter, and our seventh week of not meeting due to the coronavirus pandemic. Let us center ourselves for worship now, using the simple song that we learned last week. Come into God's presence singing Alleluia. Alleluia, Alleluia. Come into God's presence singing Alleluia, Alleluia, Alleluia. And now would you pray with me? Holy God, in the midst of much chaos and confusion, much stress and anxiety, we come to worship you. Help us to quiet other voices in these moments so that we might hear you speaking to us. Bind us together across the distance that separates through the gift of technology and by the power of your Holy Spirit. And grant your peace to our frantic minds, our weary bodies, and our restless spirits. Come, Spirit, come and be with us. Amen. Our scripture this morning is from Luke chapter 24, and I am selecting verses starting with verse 13. Now, on that same day, Easter day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What things are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" And they stood still, looking sad. And they replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. And moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Three little words. We had hoped. These heartbreaking words come from the two disciples who are on their way out of Jerusalem in the wake of the resurrection news, or at least the news that Jesus's body is not in the tomb. These two are on the road to Emmaus, which means that they are on the road from Jerusalem. They are headed out of town, or back home where they came from, or simply somewhere else. They're walking away from the rest of the disciples, from the mission, and away, it appears, from the hope on which they had staked their lives. As they walk and talk on that road, they meet a stranger, and their conversation with him begins with those heartbreaking words, "We had hoped." A seminary professor of mine said those are the saddest words in all of Scripture. "We had hoped," they say, "that the prophets were right about a coming Savior and that Jesus was him, the promised Messiah. We had hoped to follow him all our lives and to see his kingdom come. We had hoped that his prophetic and powerful words and deeds meant something. We had hoped that the chief priests and the rulers would leave him be, or even that the religious establishment would be transformed by his ministry and not angered by it. We had hoped that the crowd would not turn, that the empire would not conspire, that the nails would not bite, that the last breath would not come. We had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. We had hoped that he was the promised one, the Messiah. We had hoped all of that before these things happened, but no more. Hope is a thing of the past. We had hoped. And when the women came early this morning and told us that he was not in the tomb, but alive, just for a moment, we had hoped that it was true. But no, we had hoped. No longer. You and I are familiar with this feeling of we had hoped, because we're living that reality right now. We had hoped that this coronavirus wouldn't affect us. We had hoped it would stay on the other side of the world and not come here. We had hoped for fewer cases, more testing, a flatter curve, and a better and more compassionate response. We had hoped it would not impact our routine, our business, our hospital, our school. We had hoped not to cancel proms and graduations, weddings and funerals, parties and celebrations, family reunions and vacations. We had hoped that all of this would not interfere with our church, our fellowship, our mission, our budget, our pastor search, our worship. We had hoped to mark Maundy Thursday and Good Friday together at church as we do each year, and we had hoped to sing Alleluia in one voice on Easter morning and on every Sunday. We had hoped that this time apart would be brief and that we would be back together by now. Like the disciples, we are living in a very different reality than what we had hoped. And it's not the first time. I think we've all known this feeling of we had hoped sometime in each of our lives, in different ways and places. We had hoped for a certain score on a test or on the SAT. We had hoped to get into a certain college or to get a certain job or promotion. We had hoped for the contract to be renewed, or the big deal to come through, or the boss to appreciate our work for once. We had hoped that the pregnancy test would come back positive or negative. We had hoped that the money in the bank, or the gas in the tank, or the love in the marriage would last and not run out. We had hoped to be healthy, that the test would come back normal and we would hear the word benign and the doctor would reassure us that there's nothing to worry about or could promise us that everything will be okay. We had hoped the treatment would be effective, the miracle would happen, and our beloved one would beat the terrible disease. We had hoped that hope would never falter, that faith was a solid thing, that our trust in God was impermeable to fear, depression, and anxiety, and that prayer would always come easy. We had hoped for many things. Like the disciples, we have all hoped at one time or another, and we've all been in that place where we had hoped, and we've given up. We know what it is like to live in a different reality than what we had hoped. As you probably remember, and were likely expecting me to read, the punchline of this passage, the story of the road to Emmaus, is that when the disciples get to Emmaus, they invite the stranger in. When they're at table with him and they break bread together, they suddenly recognize that he is their friend, Jesus, the risen one. But I stopped before that part of the story today because, at least for now, I am much more interested in this part that happens on the road and how Jesus shows up in the midst of the we had hoped moment, even if they and we do not necessarily recognize him when we are despairing and out of hope. I love that the stranger who listens to the disciples' sad story is their friend, Jesus, the same one that they are mourning and remembering together. There is something powerful in the idea that the disciples pour out their broken hearts and their dashed hopes, and the one who receives all of that is Christ himself. They don't realize what's happening. But as they walk and talk together, Jesus continues the work of the cross, which is to take on the pain and the suffering of the ones he loves, in solidarity with the brokenness of the world, and for the sake of redemption. For us who are not able now to gather around the table in the usual ways, to break bread as we are accustomed, and to experience God's presence where and how we're used to, this is particularly good news. The disciples show us that sometimes even the most faithful and dedicated people do find themselves out on the road of grief and uncertainty and fear, and that there is something good and right about telling our story and naming our pain and our fear, up to and including admitting the heartbreak of "we had hoped." That kind of vulnerability is scary, but it is okay. And we know it's okay because Jesus shows up in that spot. In this story, he shows that he will meet us and seek us out on the road in the "we had hoped" place. Whether we recognize him there or not, Jesus, the risen Christ, is present with us, abiding with us on the road and at the table, when we are hoping and when we had hoped. Today and tomorrow and forever, Jesus abides with us. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Abide with me, fast falls the eventide. The darkness deepens, Lord, with me abide. When other helpers fail and comforts flee, help of the helpless, O abide with me. I need your presence every passing hour. What but your grace can foil the tempter's power? Who like yourself my guide and stay can be? Through cloud and sunshine, O abide with me.
Let us pray. Creative God, giver of every good gift, receive our thanks this day for the wonderful world you have made, for the many blessings we have enjoyed, for the plenty on our table and the shelter over our heads, and for all that is beautiful and good and right. These things all come from your generous hand, and we are grateful. Thanks be to you, O Lord. Merciful God, source of steadfast love and forgiveness, grant us pardon for all the ways that we have taken your gifts for granted, disregarded the cares and the needs of others, been selfish, mean, or rude, and any other words or deeds that have not been in keeping with your commands. Have mercy upon us, O Lord. Awesome God, splendor of the heavens and ruler of the earth, we praise your goodness and your greatness. What we know of you and all that is a mystery, your tender justice and your fierce mercy, and all your works of light and life and love. Praise be to you, O Lord. Creative, merciful, awesome God, as we always do, but with particular urgency in these days, we pray for the sick and those who care for them, for the dying and those who grieve, especially who do so alone, for the poor and those who are the most vulnerable, for the anxious and the depressed and those who feel alone, for those in seats of power that they may lead with wisdom for the common good, and for ourselves, that you would give us all we need for the facing of this day, this week, and this whole situation. Hear us now as we name in silence or out loud in our own spaces our specific concerns and the particular ways we need your grace. Receive all these prayers, O God, and the things we leave unspoken, through the tenderness of your mighty hand, and strengthen our hands that we may serve you. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Would you join me in singing the doxology? Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise God, all creatures here below. Praise God above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Before we part, I want to remind you once again to stay in, stay in touch, and stay generous. Your efforts to stay at home and to keep out of public places and to practice good hygiene may not seem like much, and they may not be much fun, but they are acts of service and mission in the world because you're protecting yourself and your neighbors. To that end, church gatherings remain canceled or moved online, at least through May 10th. Your session is continuing to monitor the situation and discern together the next steps, and we will be communicating with you. Your calls, your emails, your prayers, and all the other ways that you are keeping in touch and expressing care for one another are also really important acts of faithfulness in this time apart. And so I thank each and every one of you for reaching out beyond your own walls in the ways that you can to keep us connected as a church family. We will join together again on Zoom this Wednesday evening at 7:30, and you can find that information in your email. And I'm available by phone and email anytime that you need me. The church does continue to rely on your financial gifts, which can be mailed to our church office or offered electronically through our website, spcusa.org. We respond to God's grace with generosity, because we trust that the giver of every good gift will bless and multiply all that we offer for the good of our neighbors and for the building up of the kingdom. May God bless you as you give in all the ways that you are giving to the church and to the kingdom and to the world. I charge you now, as I always do, to go forth from this time of worship to love and serve the Lord in hope and in faith, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. And go knowing and trusting and believing, my friends, that you do not go alone. For God is faithful, And the risen Christ is at your side, whether you recognize him there or not. And the Holy Spirit abides with you and with me, and between and among all of us, now and forever. Knowing this, my friends, be at peace. Amen.